It's time for our weekly conversation surrounding the subdivision of college football with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, how are you doing tonight? And how great is it that we're now in the month of October and it feels like we're starting to slowly get into what most would consider football weather?
Well, look, we know some things now, or we think we do still. So I'm very intrigued with the games that are going to take place this week. Had some real important ones last week, that's for sure. But I think that our top five is slowly starting to maybe separate themselves with a couple of teams that have huge opportunities this week to prove that they belong in that conversation. And I'm really intrigued about what's going to happen at the Fargo Dome on Saturday between North Dakota State and Southern Illinois.
I think that could be a great matchup. But just because I have to, looking back to last week, just real quick, I had an opportunity. It was Friday afternoon-ish to listen to the conversation you guys had with Tom Barton from covers the Ivy League. He made me want to run through a wall for Harvard for some odd reason last Friday afternoon. And then a couple hours later, you texted me that Rhode Island had a slight hiccup with one of those Ivy League schools, and it wasn't one of the top three or four. I'm just going to give you the floor about, Mr. Tom Barton, what he provides the subdivision. I believe he also does some stuff with you guys at FCS Nation. And then I believe you call paper tigers of sorts, maybe with Rhode Island.
Well, Tom does a fantastic job. He writes a weekly column for us on FCSNationRadio.com about the Ivy League, breaks down the games, and he does a super job. And it's a labor of love for him with the Ivy League. He's a Harvard guy. And Tom is, if you know sports betting, then you know the name Tom Barton. But in his capacity for us, he's just our Ivy League reporter, and he does a fantastic job. And look, with the Ivies being in the playoffs this year, it is an entirely different animal in that league. And if teams want to know and fans of the top teams want to know, well, what does a good Ivy League team look like? What are they going to do? Well, I suggest you go back and give that a listen, because Tom broke it down like only somebody who's been following that league 30, 35 years can. And with the Rhode Island Rams, look, they were set up by the CAA with a schedule that was extremely advantageous to them. And it seems like every year the CAA does that with a couple of three, four teams. And you can call it gaming the system if you want to try to keep, even though the best teams have left or are going to leave that league, they still want to have teams with gaudy records that they can pump their chest and say, well, we're going to have four or five playoff teams. They're trying to avoid being looked at as a lesser conference, even though anybody that has any integrity and has any ability to see with their eyes what a top 10 team looks like will know that Rhode Island was never one of those teams. They never were. They were a paper tiger. And so the diabolicalness of the scheduling of that conference was just a huge brick was just thrown right through the window of it, because Rhode Island couldn't beat Brown, who was picked to finish last in the Ivy League. So Rhode Island's not going to be one of those teams with a gaudy record, maybe only having one loss, which would have been to an FBS team. They're going to have a loss to the worst Ivy League team, and that's going to hurt them come selection time, and it should.
As we continue our conversation here tonight, you mentioned the Fargo Dome this weekend, Southern Illinois, North Dakota State, another one of those top 10 matchups, depending on what poll you look at. You guys got SIU at number 6 this weekend. What should the outsiders expect from that matchup? And with what you saw in the fourth quarter with how NDSU just kind of took the will away from Illinois State after it was blow for blow in the first three quarters, what do you expect in this one at home?
Well, if you're Southern Illinois, you got to keep DJ Williams upright. And he has to be extremely picky when he's wanting to choose to run the football. And that is definitely a part of their game, the QB run. A lot of it is scrambling when the play breaks down, but some of it is by design. And he is a plus, plus, plus in the QB running game. But that's not just all he is. He also can really spin it. And they have some guys on the outside who can go and get 50-50 balls. What's going to be interesting to me is how their lines hold up against North Dakota State, because that's where it always seems to be the Bison have the advantage in any type of business. If Southern Illinois can block them and they can give Williams time to throw the ball, this will be a four-quarter ball game that'll go down to the final gun. If they're overwhelmed up front, well, we've seen that story before. A team comes in with a lot of accolades and a lot of flowers into the Fargo Dome and gets whipped up front and ends up losing by 2, 3, 4 touchdowns. We've seen that happen. This game is an extremely difficult one to pick. It's an extremely difficult one to prognosticate what's going to happen in it, because they haven't really faced anybody that is as strong up front as NDSU is.
Kevin, last week in the Missouri Valley, just kind of circling back a little bit, you just talked about that match between North Dakota State and Illinois State. Obviously, South Dakota, Southern Illinois, North Dakota all did what they were supposed to do. Can you talk to me a little bit about that South Dakota State-Youngstown State matchup? I was surprised it was as close. I know Youngstown's a very difficult place to play, and so I'm kind of curious as how that South Dakota State-Youngstown State game, when you look back and see how it played out, how does it look going forward for a team like Youngstown State, who's going to be on the road in Grand Forks this weekend?
Well, that's definitely going to be a tough road trip, because it is the spooky season. It is October, as you mentioned, James, and spooky things happen in that Alaris Center. It don't need to be October for spooky stuff to happen there. So that's a really tough place to play. And look, the North Dakota quarterback has been outstanding. That football team has been good. They'd like to have 3 or 4 plays back on the road at Montana, because they felt like that one got away from them. And to be honest, it probably did. So I'm looking at this particular matchup for Youngstown State. You take last week and you can't let South Dakota State beat you twice. They were in that ball game. They fired a lot of bullets at South Dakota State, led the game at the half, and they had them on the ropes and they let them off. And I think that that is a process for a team. You have to learn how to win those type of games. And Youngstown State isn't quite there yet. The quarterback is outstanding. You saw what happened on a broken play with him where he went, 70 yards? But I think what was very telling for the Jackrabbits was he had 120-something yards rushing at the half and had, 6 more rushing yards the second half. So the Jack defense really showed up in that second half of that ball game. And if they play every game like they played that second half, the Jackrabbits are going to be tough to beat going forward.
Well, speaking of the Jackrabbits, and kind of looking ahead at their schedule, the next couple of weeks they host Northern Iowa, which so far we know that they're not their normal selves as far as how they're normally at the top of the conference. Then they go to Murray State, which Murray State is still trying to adjust to Missouri Valley football, to say the least. Then they come up, and then they get the chance to host NDSU before Indiana State. Then they finish off with a string of at South Dakota, home against Illinois State, and then on the road at the Alaris Center. When that outlook for South Dakota State, when we look forward, I mean, the next two games should be easy wins, and you got the showdown in Fargo Dome where it looks like both teams could very well both be undefeated, depending on what happens in the Fargo Dome this weekend. But it seems like this schedule is setting up pretty well for the Jackrabbits. And how much do we know about the Jacks as far as they've gotten wins at Youngstown, at Montana State, and then, of course, they start off the season with a tough game against Sacramento?
I think we know they're pretty good, and I think we know that they weathered the storm of half their team leaving, it seemed like, before they even kicked the ball off. So I'm impressed with what they're doing. Chase Mason needs to improve some in the passing game, and he's only going to get better with more reps and more game experience. But the defense and the running game, those two things really, really travel, and they make the Jackrabbits extremely tough to beat. And as long as the defense plays well and they can hand the ball off and get 4, 5, 6 yards of carry and matriculate the ball down the football field in that manner, they're going to be a tough team to beat. That game against North Dakota State is circled on everybody's schedule every year, and we all know why. That is just going to be one for the ages this year, I do believe.
Now, talking about your neck of the woods where you currently reside out there in the Big Sky Conference, obviously Montana leading the Big Sky Conference overall. They're undefeated on the season, right behind them, UC Davis and Montana State. How is that conference, do you feel, is going to play out, at least as we're at the midway point of the season? Is this a two-horse race between Montana and Montana State? Whoever wins that game is going to win the conference? Or is there some maybe a dark horse or something we should keep an eye on?
I think what you said first is probably going to be accurate. The Brawl of the Wild is going to be an extremely important game. It's always an extremely important game, but this year even more so. Montana is scoring 40 points, and that is scary for everybody else, I think. But the defense needs to be better. They were hurt by crossing routes in the passing game by Idaho State over and over and over and over again. And although they did shut them out in the fourth quarter, which was impressive, but they've got to get a handle on that defensive secondary. The back end needs to be better for the Grizz if they're going to be legitimate national title contenders with those teams from the Missouri Valley that we've talked about. Montana State, Lamson has been impressive. And Julius Davis, all he does is just hurdle over people and make the Sports Center top 10. So you can sort of set your watch by, well, here's my weekly Davis highlight for Montana State. So both really good football teams. Davis, you know, look, there's still somebody who we don't really know a whole lot about. They're going to go as Caden Pennick goes, their fine freshman quarterback. He can maneuver around in the pocket. He's a plus in the running game, buying time back there for his receivers to get open. But they lost Rex Connors, probably the best defensive player in the Big Sky Conference and one of the best defensive players in the entire country, to a season-ending injury last week while he was running the ball on offense. So you have to know that staff is just kicking themselves about that. Trying to make a plus, 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 plus defender into a running back, mm-hmm. and he gets hurt. Yikes. But I think those three teams probably are the class of the Big Sky. With Northern Arizona trying to claw their way into that, the Lumberjacks put a lot into that ball game at home against Montana State last week and kind of got run out of their own dome. And so it's going to be very interesting this week to see, because we have the matchup of Davis and Northern Arizona, to see which one of those teams survives. I think whoever wins that ball game has a leg up for the third Big Sky playoff spot.
Interesting. As we look towards this weekend, we know about UND hosting Youngstown. South Dakota State has a matchup hosting UNI. The Bison host Southern Illinois, but outside of the Valley itself, where should our eyes be turning when those games aren't going on throughout the country as matchups to watch?
Well, there's some interesting – well, one really interesting out-of-conference matchup. Mercer is going to travel to Princeton to play Princeton. That'll be interesting. Let's see how the Ivy League stands up against – since they made the quarterback change, a pretty good SoCon team. Furman is at Western Carolina in the SoCon as well. And for folks who didn't see, Teron Dickens, the quarterback for Western Carolina, had a day for the ages last week against Wofford. He was 53 of 56 throwing the football. And at one time, he was 46 for 46 throwing the football. That's impressive. Teron Dickens is just a hell of a player. And if you can get your eyes on that ball game, he's worth watching and he's worth seeing. In some of the other leagues, we got Abilene Christian is at number 20 West Georgia, who got beat last week for the first time. Let's see if West Georgia can get on the rebound and take care of business at home against a pretty good and ranked number 18 Abilene Christian team. We already talked about Northern Arizona going to UC Davis. I have my eyes also on this ball game here, and it's number 10 Monmouth at Towson. We've talked about Monmouth a little bit, Derek Robertson, the Monmouth quarterback, in weeks past. All Monmouth wants to do on defense is get a couple of stops, because they feel like if they can get two, three stops, they're going to win the football game, because you're not going to be able to stop their offense. And that has been a recipe that has worked so far, gentlemen. So those are some interesting games. And also Cal Poly at Montana. Cal Poly can throw the football extremely well, and that's a weakness for the Grizz. There could be some scary moments in that game at homecoming in Washington Grizzly Stadium for the Montana Grizzlies.
Gotcha there. Hey, since you had mentioned your guys' offensive player of the week in Mr. Teron Dickens, who 46 of 46 at one point is insane, 53 of 56 overall just doesn't even make sense to me at all. I know there was a quarterback at Western Carolina a couple years ago, Cole Gonzalez, that Stone had got me on the train of his when he was playing there. Where are those two in comparison? I mean, not trying to do that side-by-side comparison, but is it the flash of what Cole Gonzalez presented with Dickens, or does he have a little bit of a different style of game?
it is a different style of game because Dickens can pull it down and run with it too and make guys miss. But they've protected him pretty well, so we haven't had to see a lot of that game. They would rather just snap the ball to Dickens, have him throw it 6 yards down the field, and make that a handoff pretty much that goes through the air. But their games are similar in some ways, but very dissimilar in others. So I don't think I answered your question very well. Two really good players, but they go about it differently.
I think you could be a head coach of a program, honestly, with that kind of answer. Whether we're talking Minnesota, NDSU, MSUM, anybody locally around here, that's pretty good. You might even have a career in politics to keep that up, Kev.
Couldn't pass the background check, probably.
So, you know, so there's that. In closing today, what do you guys have on the docket for FCS Nation this week?
Well, we're going to preview all these big games. Some of them we've talked about. We're going to give you an update on Alex's lemonade stand. And we're going to pick the games, and if you're so inclined, perhaps you can make a little bit of scratch this week by listening to FCS Nation. We appreciate you guys running the show. It's always great to be on with you two. And look, Jace, don't give up on your yokes. They got a tough row to hoe going forward. But, you know, that's why they play the games, buddy.